turn to Psalm 37 today. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. A man who knew something about challenges, changing circumstances, going into places that people really don't like you, and uncertain times. And he writes, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully for his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows, and to bring down the needy, the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage shall remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, and those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright. For there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him." Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, Lord, would you please give us a clearer vision of who you are, how you're working in time and space, and how you want to work in our hearts and our lives. That, Lord, it's almighty, sovereign God of the universe. While circumstances can be so confusing, you are so certain. Please grow our trust in you this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He begins, "Fret not because of evildoers. Fret not yourself because of evildoers." The word fret, we often think of anxiety. The word has deeper than that. It's burn hot. Heartburn. Some of you know what it is to be anxious enough that you develop heartburn. Some of you have developed ulcers in your life because you're so consumed in worry that circumstances around you, you can't get a handle on how in the world this is all going to happen, and consumed in worry, and you burn hot. But how much more than when seems like evil is winning? And in our anger, we try to figure it out and desperately take power so that we can defeat those that are doing evil around us and doing wrong either to us or around us. And before long, we can consume ourselves and burn hot in anxiety. The psalmist says, don't worry. Do not fret, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. We haven't known this summer. I'm paying lawnmowers too much because they're having to mow like twice a week just to keep up this summer. But you've all had those summers where August, it's like you didn't even have to mow because your grass burned up. So much so in the culture, the era, the place that David found himself, the rains would come, grass would grow, the rains would not come, and in that desert region, grass would fade like that. He's saying, we think, in our time period, we're seeing, and we're thinking, they're in power. They have the power to destroy my life and make my life miserable. I've got to figure out how to defeat them. Fret not. Don't burn hot in anxiety. They will burn hot and fade away like grass. Rather, trust in the Lord and do good. Rather than reacting, act. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trusting in God, the word trust, complete confidence. Each of you this morning, each of you have trusted this morning. You've trusted that chair is going to hold you up. How many of you cognitively, actively thought about whether that chair was going to hold you up? That's because you have an experience that over time, things that look like this hold you up. And you sat down and entrusted yourself, and you didn't even hesitate that chair was going to be there. It didn't move, and it was strong enough to hold you up. So also trust in God to the point that it becomes a natural part of our heart and life, that when circumstances are going in every direction, God, you're always enough. You're always there. You always come through. Help me to trust. And then he gives us other words that go along with that. To rest in him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. It says, dwell in the land. How often when we have adversity coming our way, we're tempted to flee, to run, to go anywhere, to take matters in our own hand, take our safety in our own hands. We're going to handle this. He says, dwell in the land. Stay there. Befriend faithfulness. And delight yourself in the Lord. Take great joy in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Some of you have used this verse inappropriately. I dare to say most of us have used this verse inappropriately. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I've always desired a red, very fast sports car, and God hasn't given me the desire of my heart. That's not what the verse is saying. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the requests and the petitions of your heart. If you change what you delight in, your requests and petitions change. And what's important to you and what you value changes. And as you delight in the Lord and what pleases him, he grants the requests of your heart. He will care for your needs. And while it's bewildering around you, he will care for it. Take delight. Trust in him. Stay with him. Dwell in him. Delight yourself in him. He will care for it. And then in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. The word commit essentially means roll off. Some of you, some of us, me, when I have a problem and I try to figure it out, my 40 plus years of experience, raised in a nice Christian home, all kinds of godly instructors, God's entrusted a lot to me, and my temptation is, I've got to figure this out. And then, of course, now we have the devices of just a few minutes away. We can Google, and we can get all kinds of answers to figure out our problems. Just greater and greater anxiety, greater and greater fretting and burning. We're going to figure this out. David says here, commit your way to the Lord. All the anxiety and energy, let it roll off your shoulders and into his hands. Commit your way to the Lord. You're desperate to figure it out. You're desperate to come up with enough caffeine to work that extra hours to figure it out and get it accomplished and in your own power. He says, commit it. Let it roll off you and the path of your life into his hands. Trust him. Sit down. He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Specifically in this circumstance, when evildoers and wrongdoers seem to have your demise in mind and they're going to bring it about, rest in the Lord. Trust in him. Commit your way to him. He will act and he will prove your righteousness. He will bring justice as the noonday. It will be bright. Nobody will miss it. They'll all see it. But be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Be still. Some of you have rest. Again, the concept of trust. Wait patiently. Does this mean that we just check our minds and our emotions? The word wait patiently actually has an emotional drive to it. That as we're still before God, our mind and our heart intensely know he's going to come through. We're going to wait patiently with emotion, trusting he hasn't failed us in the past. He won't fail us in the future. He's going to come through. And the more you fret over those that are prospering, you look around and it looks like they're cursing God. They're actively cursing God, and they're prospering. They're actively chasing after those who are righteous, and they're prospering. And it's so tempting to become consumed. He says, fret not. Refrain from anger. Don't react in anger. Forsake wrath, because in your reactions and in your fretting and in your anxiety, it only tends to evil. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 4. When you give the devil a foothold by dwelling on anger and allowing anger to go past sunset, and you allow anger to consume you, it gives the devil a foothold in your heart and your mind and in your life. It tends only to evil. In verse 9, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait, who look expectantly for the Lord, shall inherit the land. In just a little while, David writing 3,000 years ago, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. Compared to eternity, even the longest of any wicked person, whatever their tenure is, whatever their heritage is, in light of eternity, it's as if they're no more. Continue to look to the eternal God. They may seem big at the moment. They will not last. The wicked plots against the righteous. He gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked. For he, the Lord, sees, he observes that the wicked's day is coming. Our eternal God, omniscient God, he sees the end. He knows the end. He knows your end. He knows their end. They're gnashing their teeth against God by gnashing their teeth against us. But God laughs. When Shannon and I were dinks, double income, no kids. And we were wanting kids, but God hadn't blessed us yet with kids. So we did what every dinks do. You get a dog to try out parenting on a dog. And I think I've shared before, we picked the wrong dog. We picked the dog that ran to us. It was Black Lab and Shar Pei mix. And so it quickly tried to tell us who was boss and train us. So we signed up for dog obedience school at about 6 months. And the instructor the first day made it very clear, if you fail this course, it's not your dog's fault. It's yours. Oh, no pressure. And so we would go week after week with marginal success. But there was like 18 dogs in this high school gym, quite entertaining. And there was a Great Dane, big Great Dane, very well behaved, passed with flying colors. But there was also in the class, I think it was a dog. It might have been a large rat, but if it had been shaved, it was maybe 2 pounds. And one class, it was right next to the Great Dane. I think it flunked the class too because it yapped the whole time up at the Great Dane. And the Great Dane just stoically looked ahead. And then at one point looked down. I call you Chew Toy. The wicked plots against the righteous. They gnash their teeth at him. Yap, 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 yap. To us, they seem big. To God, I know the end. And God laughs. The Lord laughs. As he sees, he observes, their day is coming. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. Lord, I can't pay my power bill. I'm not sure where my next meal is coming from. And yet this evil person is feasting on caviar and jetting around the world. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and that their heritage will remain forever. They are not to put to shame in evil times. In days of famine, they'll have abundance. but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord, again, are like the glories of the pasture. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. The righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. Those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established. They're ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. For the Lord upholds his hands. I've been young and now I am old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Sean and Tanya are launching out on an adventure. As far as I know, their house hasn't sold yet. Not yet. But as they've been committing their way to the Lord, and God has brought all kinds of unique ways to care for their needs, and he has been working, they're trusting that God will continue. The God that has been moving and providing for them here will also be in Huntington, Indiana, working and providing for them and leading them through, upholding their hand. That their steps have been ordered by the Lord. As they prayed, God had put a longing on their heart, a desire on their heart. They didn't see how that would happen or when that would happen. But as God continued to unfold the chapters, page by page, that knowing that God was delighting in their life and way, and as he would open the next door, he'd make it known to them. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. The days of your life are written. He wants to work them out through a willing servant. And if you trust in him and you delight in him, he delights in you. And even when you trip, you won't completely fall because he's holding your hand. Sometimes you launch out in trusting faith and you don't get to your destination. But the phrase, it's much easier to steer a moving ship, because some of you are tied to the dock. You have dreams and visions of how God might use you, but you don't have the confidence to leave the dock until God gives you the firm final plan. When he writes out every detail, then maybe, and provides all enough fuel and tells you all the stops along the way and gives you that, then maybe, just maybe, you'll untie from the dock and launch out. Some of you have carelessly launched out. In a moment, maybe because of the effects of the pepperoni pizza, you had a vision and you launched out without really seeking the Lord's face, without seeking any spiritual counsel, and you've launched out on a task that's not of the Lord. You will fall. You will trip up. And in that balance, to trust and rest in God, to delight in him and his ways, to seek to please him where he's placed you, longing to be used however he desires, wherever he desires, and allow him to guide and steer. And in that way, you will not fall. You will not be cast headlong. Even though you begin to trip, you will not be cast headlong, because the Lord will uphold you in that time. Verse 28, the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. You pick up the newspaper? Nobody picks up the newspaper. You look at the news on TV, online. Lord, do you really love justice? How come your saints around the globe and even here seem to be forsaken at times? Remember God's perspective, God's view. He loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They will be preserved forever. They will inherit all that he is, all that he has, and they will dwell with him forever. in the fleeting moments that we see, we can't see it, but they will dwell with him forever. The wicked watches for the righteous. They seek to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned, but wait, and this is look eagerly. The wicked looks at us, looks for the righteous. They're looking for the righteous so they can put them to death. We aren't to look at them. We're to look earnestly. That's the word wait. Look earnestly for the Lord and keep his way. All kinds of distractions, all kinds of ways to pull us apart, get us off track. Look earnestly for the Lord. Keep his way. Don't yield to the right, to the left. Keep his way, and he will exalt you. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. Verse 37, mark. This is the word we have in the New Testament where, a version of it where Mary treasured up in her heart all that had happened. Mark, observe the blameless. Many of you have had a fantastic example in your life the last 14 years, and the last 3 or 4 years as assistant pastor, the last 14 years as they've attended here, and Sean and Tanya and their family. You've observed their life. Today is a day to, in one way, mark, treasure up the memory of who they are and how they've lived out before you. As blameless as possible, as upright as possible. Because their future, there is a future for a man of peace. Observe. God has placed great examples right here in this body. Observe them with the intent of remembering them and their ways and how they've trusted God and their example in all kinds of circumstances. Because before you know it, you very well may find yourself in those circumstances. Observe them. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He saves them because they take their refuge in him. If you turn with me to a corresponding chapter in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, Paul is ending his missionary journeys. And he's headed to Jerusalem. God has revealed to him and let him know his end, that he would be in prison and taken to Rome. But on the way, he wants to meet with the elders of Ephesus and say goodbye to them. So now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know, you've observed, how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention, observe, treasure up the memory to yourselves and to all the flock. in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, watch, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you, I entrust you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. There was much weeping on the part of all, and they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship.